This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hey, everybody. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night, bringing you the absolute best of what's making Pittsburgh rock out. I'm telling you what, man. Every Friday, we love bringing you the show. And tonight, actually, I have a special co-host for my first segment here, Audrey Russo, my usual co-host, my boss, our CEO of the Pittsburgh Tech Council. She is out of the office, out of the studio tonight. So I have Ryan Gent hanging out with us. So Ryan, he leads up our membership team here at the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And without members, the Pittsburgh Technology Council is not the Pittsburgh Technology Council. So, Ryan, pressure's on, man. Pressure's on. And thanks for hanging out with me tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah. I realized I might not have a radio voice. I noticed as soon as you hit record, you have a radio voice. I don't know that I have one.
You could say it's a radio
voice. Is it? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yours went into overgear.
It's like the morning drive. It's like the morning drive. It's like the evening drive.
Perfect. Well, thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Well, you're very welcome, Ryan. So, Ryan, you've been at the council for about 3 or 4 years now, right?
That is correct. About 3.5 years.
3.5 years. And you lead up membership here. So at the end of the day, when people are looking to join the Pittsburgh Technology Council, they come through you. And as Audrey and I always tout, 35 years, we've been a membership organization helping tech companies succeed. And you're on the front lines every day when it comes to all things technology companies. You're meeting with them. You're seeing where the pain points are, the pressure points, and why people are joining the Tech Council to help their companies succeed. So what are you seeing out in the marketplace right now, Ryan? What's going on? Why are people, why are entrepreneurs, why are tech companies joining the Pittsburgh Tech Council?
You know, it really depends. It depends on whether it's a homegrown company.
Okay.
In the early stages, they might be looking for access to capital.
Right.
They might be looking for access to some of our local corporations for beta tests or to be early consumers of the product. And then we have a lot of companies, you know, that aren't technically headquartered here, but have some few people on the ground, and they want to just increase their visibility.
Exactly.
So they do stuff like come on this radio show. They, you know, you write about them in TEQ, and just getting out to our events and meeting a lot of the people who are the players in the community.
So it's about being seen a lot for these companies,
right,
at the end of the day.
Right.
It makes me feel good. It means I got a job at the PTC then, right?
Exactly. Yeah, for a while. Because people can use it for two different things.
You said for a while.
What for a while, mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have other plans?
Well, I know. They say we're due for a recession, so that's
what. Don't say that yet, okay?
That's what I read. Sorry. I didn't mean to take the radio show down. down a bit. But people come to get the visibility for different reasons. Some people want it for to try to get in front of customers, and that's a big reason why people come to our events. But for some people, you know, their customers are very distinct and very specific. They might be government, federal government contracts, and they want that visibility to get the talent that they're now competing with, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks and Uber and all these big companies. So they have to let people know that they can have a really cool tech career at those companies as well. So sometimes, you know, people want that visibility and it has nothing to do with getting customers. It's just about, they need people.
Right.
Let people know what they're doing and that it's a cool thing and you can be part of something big. And so they can get that message out through your channels.
So what are your thoughts on talent? I know obviously that's one of the key reasons people join the council. I mean, we have all these talent services you talked about. I mean, the people, these companies are looking for some really talented people.
Yeah.
Crazy specializations in engineering, software development, project management. And I mean, I know Pittsburgh's got lots of talent, but we need more. What are you seeing in the market as far as, like, are they finding the people that they need? Are they just taking from other companies? Are we drawing people in from outside the area?
No, they're not finding them. And I think what's going to happen is people are losing revenue because they can't push forward with the projects and take on the demand because they can't fill these positions. I was just meeting with a company today. They have an interesting approach where they have very specific cybersecurity positions that even with a formal education would be difficult because everything's changing in that world.
Okay, to be able to identify
threats.
Within 6 months,
so
skill set can change.
They have an internship program where they kind of bring through like four every quarter or so, and they'll end up hiring a lot of them. And it's kind of an in-house training program for a very specific kind of cybersecurity threat detection.
Okay.
So I think there are a lot of companies doing things kind of custom-made like that because for that kind of talent. But ultimately, what we need is more people to move here. You know, we don't have enough talent here to fill all the positions. And I mean, the scary part is, you know, a lot of these companies have headquarters here and they might be in Boston or, you know, the West Coast, and they're looking just for the best people and they don't always have a plan of which office they want to grow. They're going to grow the one where they can find the talent. So, you know, we can be losing out on a lot of this growth by not getting the people moving here.
Absolutely. Reminding our listeners, so we're talking to Ryan Jent here from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. He leads up our membership department. We're talking about talent issues and why people join the Tech Council, companies join the Tech Council in order to solve those talent problems. And like I said, I think it's a tough solve. When I was in London a few weeks ago, I was turning on the news in the morning, and the biggest problem their tech industry has, not enough people. And especially with the whole Brexit thing going on, it's even harder for them to get people because they're not going to be able to pull from the EU like they once did. So we're seeing this everywhere. So really, we're in a fight with the rest of the world for talent, which I think is just really scary, but we're not the only ones fighting for talent.
Well, nobody anticipated this from an education standpoint, that we were going to have this amount of jobs in these kind of fields. I mean, everybody knew that tech was booming and it was growing, but things changed rapidly in the last decade. And so I don't think education has had time to catch up with the kind of roles that we need out there. And so you see the rise of, you know, some of these like WorkHard, PGH, and Tech Elevator, some of these kind of boot camps and coding schools to get people the skills they need in a short period of time, which is good for them because they can, you know, get back to the workforce quickly, and good for the economy because we can start filling at least some of these entry-level positions.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we should get jobs as programmers. Can we go to like Tech Elevator and get some skills in the next like 14 weeks? And
I honestly don't think I'm capable of learning it. I'm capable of learning a lot, but that coding, it kind of goes over my
Coding's
head.
Coding's not your game?
Yeah, it just seems very difficult.
So I had my own software company when I was 13 years old.
You did?
Called Data Voice, yes, when I was a little lad. And you know, I picked up skateboarding 2 years after that, and I don't know what I did.
Wait, is that true?
It's true.
What did you do with this company?
So I was building these games that people were going to rent. I didn't want to sell them. I wanted to rent them because I was going to continue to make updates to the games so people would come back and re-rent the games. So I made these space shuttle simulation games, like you were flying the space shuttle and were going on journeys. It was very basic, actually written in BASIC. But man, I had lines of code back in the day, man.
And did you have customers?
No, but I was dreaming of customers. I was going to release these things and you know, give people the diskettes to rent for
but
like
then
$5.
You found the skateboard.
I found the skateboard.
That took off for you.
And that just ruined the rest of my life. I blame you, skateboard. Yeah. Anyhow.
It's not easy to start a tech company.
It is not easy to start. I know that firsthand, but I love being able to cover them. I know you're super passionate about it. You are out at, I mean, you're everywhere around town, Ryan, talking to companies, talking to entrepreneurs, being helpful to them. Even when they're not members of the council, you're out there just trying to work with them because, you know, at some point, membership might be a good fit for them. And if you want to learn more about membership, go to pghtech.org and you can learn more about how we like helping tech companies succeed. And I'm glad Ryan's on our team representing the PTC doing what he does. Simple as that. And so we have some great events coming up. We have Farnum Jahanian, the new president of Carnegie Mellon, speaking at a breakfast briefing August the 21st. I just interviewed Farnum this past week for a TEQ cover story. Really cool guy. I am so excited for him doing what he's doing here in Pittsburgh, Ryan.
That is great. I mean, everybody knows so much of what's happened here is because of CMU and CMU's history in these fields. And I've yet to meet him, but I've heard he's a great guy, and everybody has great expectations for what he's going to do. The university already obviously has a stellar reputation, but I think he's going to continue to grow it even further.
That is the plan. So on tonight's show, we have Mark Bursick and Ralph Pulaski from Critical Syntax, a cybersecurity company. We have Amy Halter. She's the vice president of ops at Axion Labs stopping by. They're growing, just opened up bigger facilities in Bridgeville. And of course, we have the one and only Kenny Chen from Ascender stopping by to talk about things artificial intelligence. I know you know Kenny quite well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think Kenny is getting any sleep from this point until September.
I don't think so
either. Thrival comes on.
I know
that's his baby, and that's a big project. I mean, it's going to be exciting this year. They're moving to is it Highmark Stadium?
Yes, they are.
Place at Station Square. Yeah,
and
they have a lot of content through the week. I think a lot of people forget about that. They have the music, and everybody knows about that.
Yeah,
but I think people should take a look at some of the events they're doing throughout the week.
Absolutely, we'll talk to Kenny all about that. We're coming right back after this quick break, Ryan. Thanks for filling in for Audrey for this opening segment. We appreciate it much. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I am so glad you are dialed into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. Every Friday night, I get such a kick out of bringing you the best and the brightest in Pittsburgh's technology and entrepreneurial community. They're really one and the same. We have some of the brightest men and women building some of the coolest companies, and we love profiling them here every Friday night. And for the more than 20 years I've been at the Tech Council and the more than 10 years we've been doing Tech Vibe Radio, I've come across so many of the really just great entrepreneurs out there building companies. And tonight is no different. We have a company called Critical Syntax with us tonight. They're a cybersecurity company, and they are keeping us safe out there. Because as we all know, whether you're running a business, whether you're at home just surfing the web, it's a scary place out there. But we've got some great people that are keeping us on the level and safe. And got Ralph Pulaski here from Critical Syntax. Now, Ralph, you actually introduced me to this company because you just started working for these guys a little bit ago. So, Ralph, it's good to have you back on the show with us.
Great to be here, Jonathan.
And, of course, we have Mark Bursick here. He's the man behind Critical Syntax. So, Mark, thanks for hanging out with us in the studio tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So, first off, give us the quick elevator pitch about Critical Syntax. And I want to talk a little bit about your background in cybersecurity because you have a really cool background that led to the founding of Critical Syntax. Because I think every company's got a great founding story.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to learn more about yours.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, Critical Syntax is devoted to protecting online web assets, particularly WordPress websites.
Yes. Well,
WordPress comprises about almost 30% of the market now.
Is it that much?
It's climbing too. Yeah,
it's such a great platform to build on because it's easy, it's simple,
yeah.
But at the same time, there are vulnerabilities within it.
Right. Well, it's open source, so it's being developed by a team of people all over the planet. And there's vulnerabilities in it. It's been that way since the beginning. Because it's such a large installed base, it becomes a bigger target. So now as it's creeping into being 25, 26, 30% of the entire internet, hackers and...
becomes an easy target,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they want to get in. They're looking for data, whether it be financial data or even just customer data, or they're looking to gain control of the website and put some malware in there or some other things that they can do.
Exactly.
And WordPress is an easy target, so they run scripts, they search for WordPress websites that are vulnerable. They have little vulnerability scanners, and when they find one, then they just start attacking.
Yeah. So I have a story I can tell you. I was subjected to this. Many years ago, we built one of our TechBurger blogs on WordPress box. This was right a couple years after WordPress just came out. And as we built the site, there was some weird code in a plugin. Because back then you could put any plugin in, you found it. Hey, this is a plugin to put my Twitter feed into. Put that in.
Right.
And then I'm running a Mac, so I go to the site, don't see anything wrong with it ever. And then I get a call from one of our members saying, hey, I was just clicked on a link, and it told me to click on this thing, and I did, and I lost control of my laptop. And then I realized, wait a second, we have this, I believe it was called the end of world virus at the time, that somehow found its way onto our site. And I was like, it actually destroyed our site. We had to pay more money to get the code taken out than it cost to actually to develop the site and clean it. And it ruined our Google analytics on the site, because we were listed as being like a bad site. Because I think we went like 2 or 3 weeks not knowing that there was this vulnerability on our site. So I know firsthand the importance of having a WordPress site that's locked down and is safe. And that's why I'm really excited to talk to you guys about that. Because I know so many of our members and our listeners out there probably have WordPress sites.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great for marketing. It's fantastic because it connects real well to Google. It gets great SEO. It's easy to update, and it's really easy to develop. You know, and so a lot of people out there who don't have any programming experience are building websites, and they don't have any security background. They might not even have any design background, but they are, but they're building websites.
As witnessed by many ugly WordPress.
Yes. Yeah. And so when we started discovering hacks in my old company was a political technology.
Right. And this is why I think it's so interesting. You had this really cool company. Tell us about that.
Well, we started doing work in politics in the early 2000s. I was working in an advertising agency and decided to break off onto my own.
Gotcha.
And form my own company. And we were starting to do websites for political campaigns and online databases. And it grew and grew and grew and grew. And by the time 2010, 2012 roll around, we were kind of the big dogs in the political business. And we were starting to see major amounts of hacking. We were starting to see China and Russia
everywhere,
starting to
right?
ramp it up.
Yeah, totally.
We had our own servers, so we could control things better than other people. Over time, between like maybe 2000 and 13 to 2015, we started getting calls, can you fix my website? It's hacked. And we started to see an opportunity there. And not just in the political world. We were
everywhere, because all these WordPress sites, right?
Right.
I think Ralph has his own WordPress site.
Right. And I secured it.
He did. He's like, RalphPlasky.com.
He's okay. He's one of my guys. So we started to see this, and not just with even high profiles. We started to see it with nobodies, you know, campaigns that were ridiculous.
Just really low-level stuff.
Political committees, like at Warren County political committee, was getting bombarded with hacking. It didn't matter how big the site was.
Okay.
Because for the hackers, they didn't care. They weren't looking to get, you know, financial data. They were looking to gain control. They were looking to get legitimized by running code off a legitimate website. So they don't care. The smaller, the better. The easier of a target, the better.
Exactly.
And we realized that there was a market out there for doing this kind of security work. And the piece of this that a lot of people don't get is they feel that they're covered because their IT company is covering them. Or their managed service provider.
No, you're not. As I had learned, they do not. Because once that's built, they're hosting it for you. But that doesn't mean they're defending or they have any hand in the code that has built that particular site.
Right.
So, Mark, tell us. Remind our listeners, we're talking to Mark Bursick. He runs Critical Syntax. We've got Ralph Plasky here as well hanging out with us. What are some top strategies? So I'm building a WordPress site on my own. What are maybe the two or three key things I should be thinking about just foundationally just to ensure that I got a good base for my site to keep it kind of safe?
If you're in the process of developing the site, let's talk about ones that are in development.
Right.
There's a lot of things you can do in development that will make security easier for you in the long run. Obviously, passwords. Everyone talks about passwords, hard to guess passwords. But password is only half the equation.
Okay.
Password is half of your credentials. What's the other half of your credentials? Your username. WordPress out of the box wants your username to be admin.
Exactly.
Then,
so people know they can start with admin and run a script that will keep doing different admins in combination with very easy passwords, and boom, they get in, right?
Right. Now they have
I could be a hacker. I know these things.
Right. They have half your credentials.
Exactly.
Exactly. So one of the first things you can do is just not use admin. Use something else.
That sounds easy enough. I'm going to change mine because I think mine still has admin in there somewhere.
Right. So you change the credentials, not only harden your password, but harden your username.
Gotcha.
That's one thing that you can do. Another thing that you can do with your site is to hide the biggest attack vector that you have.
Okay.
And the biggest attack vector that you have is a login screen.
Login screen.
And WordPress has a unified login screen.
Yeah, it's always in the WP admin, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you hit /WP admin and all of a sudden you get access. There are plugins out there that will allow you to move.
Wait, I'm writing this one down. I got my pencil here. I'm sharpening up. And so hide the login screen.
Yep. Yeah. And
I got to do that.
Now, it's not a great security method because, you know, just moving something isn't the best security method. But we're talking about thwarting scripts, not in very intelligent human being hackers.
Right.
Okay. So if you can get through the first line of defense where you're not flagged as a WordPress site at all,
then you're going to get bounced immediately.
Right. So if they hit that and they get a 404 error,
they're like, not legit on the next site. There's 10,000 more sites on my list today. I'll go to the next one as far as.
Maybe it's not WordPress. Right. Maybe it's Drupal. Maybe it's .NET site.
Absolutely.
So they move on.
Gotcha.
So those are some simple things.
Those are great stuff. We've got about a minute left. Real fast, I have to ask Ralph, why were you so excited to work for Critical Syntax? It seems like a really great company.
It's hopefully a simple solution for a very complex problem that people aren't thinking about right now.
Exactly.
Exactly what Mark said, the idea that you think you're covered on your IT side, your marketing team is mostly handling your website.
Exactly.
So it's important to get that review of what your problem is, and that's what we offer.
I love it. I tell you what, go to criticalsyntax.com, learn all about it. Really great guys, very approachable. No matter what size company or big or small, give them a call if you're concerned. They can definitely talk with you and take it from there.
We can give you a free vulnerability scan.
Even better yet. Very, very cool. It goes by too fast. I could talk so much more about this stuff. Anyhow, guys, thanks for stopping by. Once again, Ralph Pulaski and Mark Bursick from Critical Syntax. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We've been helping tech companies succeed since 1983. Yes, 35 years. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Fly on over to Twitter at pghtech. Hey, so glad you could join us this Friday night here for Tech Vibe Radio. Just love doing the show, having way too much fun talking to all the great people here. Really making Pittsburgh pop. It's summertime. It's kind of nuts out. I don't know. I'm in a good mood. It's hard to not be in a good mood when you're really profiling the industry that is making Pittsburgh really be the cool city that it is. And we've got a great company here with us tonight, Axion Labs. Actually, I think it's been 3 or 4 years maybe since they've last been on the show, if I remember correctly. But way back on another format, we had them on. And so I'm really glad to re-engage this company because they have so many things going on. They're growing like crazy. They're solving tough problems. And I can't wait to learn more and what's kind of making them do what they do. And I tell you what, I have Amy Halter here. Amy, thanks for stopping by and hanging out with me tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So before we came on air, you were telling me kind of a cool little story about yourself and how you kind of came back into the workplace into HR and Axion was your first destination 5 years ago. And I want to learn more about that. But before we do that, see, I'm getting ahead of myself. Just do a little reset with our listeners. Just what are the basics of Axion? What's the quick like elevator pitch about what makes Axion Axion these days? And then we're going to dive into all the fun stuff about how you do what you do.
Sure.
Axion.
So Axion is a technology services firm, and we focus on the emerging technologies. So anything, the next latest and greatest thing, anything that's new and exciting, we're bringing those solutions to our customers.
The emerging technologies.
Exactly.
Right?
That buzzword.
Things like Web 2.0.
Yes.
Software as a service, e-business, mobile, all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. Mobile applications, you know. Re-engineering, digital re-engineering is a big one, and that's transforming your data from what it was back a long time ago when you only needed to share it just inside your own office to making it digital and able to flow across the country and across the world. So.
And these are super complex business problems that you're solving, and they're not solved. Businesses don't exist anymore. You really become the backbone of a company when you provide solutions to them.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you mentioned, that we are solving business problems. We can provide staffing solutions, or we can take care of their entire technology project. So we liken ourselves to a home builder, where we could send them just the electrician.
Like okay.
Or we can be their general contractor and do the entire project for them.
So what's the ratio on that? Are a lot of folks like, I'd be the guy that'd be like, hey, I don't want you working on my house, but I need a good electrician. And then you realize halfway through, no, I need the whole contractor. But is it an even mix between who's just contracting with work or people who are saying, Axion, make my problems go away?
You know, we are a mix of about 60% projects to about 40% on the staffing side.
I see.
More and more people have come to know us through the staffing business, and they're engaging us on a project level. And there's some unique factors for Axion Labs. We have a CTO. We have a dedicated research team.
You do.
We create our own intellectual property so that we have the foundation to be able to help them solve their entire problem.
Exactly.
Instead of just sending them just one person.
They come out there with a bunch of Axion tools.
Yes.
At their use, ready to solve some of these problems. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go into some of those things that you guys solve, I want to talk about your background, because I like it when people have cool backgrounds like yours. So you're in HR there. So you're in the middle of it all.
I'm in the middle of it all.
Yeah, and you've been there for 5 years now?
5 years.
So you've got some great stories to tell. What brought you into Axion? Why was it exciting to go there? And what's your trajectory been like since you got there and what you're doing now?
Sure. So when I first started at Axion, they were experiencing some growth, and they needed somebody to just come on and help with employee onboarding, employee engagement. And the position really grew from there. And as I had gotten my master's online through Penn State in human resources, I wanted to explore more and more with human resources. So I asked to take on some additional responsibilities, and it just kept growing into finance, into general operations.
Right.
A little bit of everything that we do. So I look at the contracts. I look at what's happening in our staffing world. I make sure that the HR function is running smoothly, that finance, we're looking and crunching all the numbers that we need to crunch. So a little bit of everything.
I was going to say, wait, so no day is the same for you.
No day is the same.
One day you're onboarding someone. One day you're making sure everyone's getting paid. The next day you're making sure the projects are being executed on time. Like, you're like the glue of Axion, possibly, over there.
Well, thank you for that. That's very kind. But, you know, I think that that's one of the really exciting things about Axion as a company is they took somebody like me, who was just starting in my HR career, and I'd had a prior hospitality background. Mm-hmm. So no experience in the technology industry. And, you know, it was new and exciting as technology is. And they allowed me to blossom and grow there.
They saw the potential, right?
Absolutely.
They saw, here's someone that wants to work for us. Here's someone that's got the core skill set. They're going to solve problems as they learn here. And that's why their Axion's doing so well. Because that's probably how they hire everybody that's over there, right?
That's exactly what we're looking at is growing the next version and next generation of our leadership. And we just had a meeting about it and how important it is. And Kanesh, our CEO, is passionate about the headquarters being here in Pittsburgh and looking for Pittsburgh talent. So it's a tremendous amount of opportunity.
Absolutely. Just reminding our listeners, we are talking to Amy Halter from Axion Labs. And you just mentioned your new headquarters. You had a big celebration a few weeks ago because you guys, like I said, you're moving and you're grooving, you're growing. Tell us about your new digs.
So we moved. We had about 4,000 square feet over in our prior location in Upper St. Clair. We moved to 9,000 square feet
Whoa.
In Bridgeville.
Okay.
So it was a very exciting move. The office is fresh and new and has a lot of energy, more modern and fitting with that tech vibe.
I like the way you said tech vibe.
And, you know, just a lot of room to grow and we are looking to hire. So if people out there are listening and they're interested in getting into the technology industry, we are interested in hiring on our sales team, future leaders, entry level. We look for techies too. We always need techies.
How about part-time radio hosts? We could do that for you guys.
We might need to look
just
into
saying,
that.
You know,
we might have
space.
To explore that a little bit.
Give us a couple hundred square feet for a little podcast room.
I love that idea.
Something like that. We could be live from the Axion Studios.
I love it.
Bringing you Tech Vibe Radio. We can make that happen.
We can do that. We'll find a way.
So how many people are working in the new space?
In the new space, we have right now about 25.
Wow.
And we're looking, actively looking to hire hopefully about 5 more in the short term.
Whoa. So you are just getting busier. I hope you have some sort of an assistant. Someone helping you out.
You know, I have a fabulous support team.
Can we talk to Kanesh for you? I'll talk to Kanesh. Like, look, Kanesh, you got to hang out with Amy here. She needs a little help.
I appreciate that. The team that I have is amazing. And it started with a person named Courtney, who came in from a childcare background. Again, no technology experience and has done a tremendous job in growing towards the, you know, legal and HR route. Our HR manager came brand new out of college and her first HR position, and we're growing that position too.
That's awesome.
Jennifer Wells, our operations manager, she is amazing too. And she, again, didn't have a lot of directly related experience, but has done a tremendous job in marketing for us. So
I love it.
It's an exciting, we have a fabulous team.
So got some great customers out there. And people sometimes in Pittsburgh don't realize that there's great companies like yours here to solve their problems. I want you guys doing more business in Pittsburgh.
We do too.
Yeah. Because we don't have to travel as much, right?
Absolutely. And we love Pittsburgh.
And we love being in Pittsburgh. So like, who's a typical client of yours? Is there a size where you're too big or too small for Axion? Like, and if there's a particular challenge that really stands out that you love being able to solve and you can solve like quickly, is there an ideal client that someone's out there listening, they can be like, no, I should be talking to Axion. I'm having these problems, you know, with my databases not talking to each other or trying to make some of my data more transparent to my customers so they can, you know, work with me closer on certain contracts and things like that.
Sure. So, you know, we started off looking at mid-size product firms. And that they have a technology product they're looking to sell and to bring to market.
Okay.
Focusing on agile methodology and sprints.
Absolutely.
You know, the whole process there. The exciting thing is that as we've grown and gotten to know ourselves better, we found that we can work with enterprise companies. We're working with one of the largest public utility companies in the nation on a redesign project for some of their services, and it's incredible that the opportunities. A cloud hosting company that, again,
excellent,
is a global cloud hosting company. And then we do spend time with startups who are just coming out of the incubator and getting their product to market.
Wow, so
and
you're going, really you're doing the whole scale there.
The whole scale.
So everyone gets to have a really fun time working at Axion because there's something new to do every single day.
There's something new to do, something new to learn every single day.
Very cool. So the idea, you mentioned before, you're looking to hire five to be, you know, mm-hmm, there. But you also then have the other side where you recruit people for on a project mm-hmm basis. If you're a contractor out there and you're someone who has tech skills, how can they interact with you and say, hey, I'd like to join your team, you know, on that you know, project basis?
So if they go to our website, mm-hmm, which is axionlabs.com,
gotcha,
axionlabs.com, they can go ahead and submit their resume right on our website, view our job openings. They can reach out to us at DDI Plaza in person. The best is that website, though, or info@axionlabs.com.
Start there.
All their needs.
And you guys always get back to the folks that because I know some people get a little freaked out, like, oh, I'm going to talk out, no one will reach back to me. I guarantee you guys are going to get back to people.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool stuff. I don't know, I'm just so pumped for the company. It's been really cool. Because I remember when Ganesh founded it years ago, and he was just starting up, and I said there was this twinkle in his eye where I knew he was going to do great things with Axion, and I have you guys stop out here, and I'm just learning so much. I mean, the new space, the different projects that you work on. Obviously, I'm sensing a really cool, positive work culture. I mean, people seem like they're fired up and ready to go, and they allow people to grow with the job and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I call it a true Pittsburgh success story in the making.
Well, thank you.
Simple as that. I love it. So, axionlabs.com.
Yes, axionlabs.com, and Kinesh still has that twinkle in his eye.
I'm sure he does. I love it, man. That is so fantastic. And now we're taking a break, and we are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. More great stories like this, like the Axion Labs of the world. They're making Pittsburgh tick. They're part of the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and you should be too if you're running a tech company, because we love helping tech companies succeed. We've been doing it since 1983. We're doing this 35-year celebration in the fall. I've been digging in the crates through our old TEQ magazines, finding funny pictures of wide ties, big glasses, and even bigger cell phones. They were actually called cell phones back then. I don't know. But anyhow, learn more about us at pghtech.org and then go on over to Twitter at pghtech. Learn all about it. This is Jonathan Kirsting. So glad you're joining us here tonight on Tech Vibe Radio. It's our final segment for the night. I sometimes get a little sad at the end of the show because I'm always like, oh man, I'm having way too much fun on this journey, this ride that we call Tech Vibe Radio every Friday night. But then I remind myself, we're back on the air next Friday. I hope you make it part of your Friday routine. Turn the old AM dial right here to 1020 on KDKA because we do love bringing you the best and the brightest of what's happening here in Pittsburgh. And we have actually no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio with us. We have Kenny Chen. Kenny.
Hello.
Thanks for hanging out with us tonight,
no,
man.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Dude, I cannot keep up with you. You got too much stuff going on. I think you have like, I don't know, either like a hologram or a doppelganger of some kind that's going around as Kenny Chen that is like doing all the things that you do during the course of a week and a day and a month and everything like that. But you're with Ascender. You're doing all things around artificial intelligence. And I don't know, we got so much to talk about. So first, introduce yourself. Who is Kenny Chen?
Well, Unit 6 is pleased to be reporting here at KDAK Studios.
Yes.
while the other units are doing other things.
Yeah, no, they're all just messing around. We're the serious one over here,
at
right?
At least that's been the joke, and I've started running with it. But I'm the innovation director over at Ascender. I call us an economic development lab. Or an innovation.
That's a cool
lab.
Way of putting it. I like that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we were formed, 6 years ago to continue trying to find new and appropriate ways to address gaps within the entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Right.
And, continue evolving with the region as it changes as well. And so, starting off as a startup incubator, but then adopting Thrival as an innovation and music festival.
Which is right around the corner, a couple months away.
Yeah,
it'll be happening.
We're freaking out, but it's going to be awesome. Yeah. We've built out a co-working space. And for the past couple of years that I've been with the organization, we've really started embracing more of an active role in shaping the conversation around ethics and policy as it pertains to AI and other emerging technologies.
And you guys have really taken the lead on that, which we think is awesome at the Tech Council. We have noticed and we see the great work that you guys are doing.
I appreciate it.
It's needed work because this is what's driving the community forward. And really, when it comes to artificial intelligence, I mean, that's what Pittsburgh is really standing up for these days. I mean, it's like you ask anyone out there, they're like, Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University, like it just becomes this like thing. And so to kind of have Ascender, to have Kenny Chen be part of this way of keeping these conversations going, shaping what's happening, we think is just super important.
Hey, no, standing on the shoulders of giants. Sure. I mean, the Tech Council's been doing this work for over 30 years now, right?
35.
Wow,
but who's 35? Counting? Not
Wait.
Me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Actually, it's been funny. I've been digging through our archives because we're putting together a magical slideshow of things over the years, and there's some really funny things to laugh at. That's all I can say.
When's the party?
I'm thinking it's going to be in September. We're pegging it down. It's going to be part of the launch of our new tech record that we're going to be launching. It's our new tech map,
what?
Completely reimagined as a jukebox and vinyl records, because tech companies are our rock stars. That's all I can say. So
is it not going to be the Nerdvana map anymore?
The Nerdvana kid will be in there somewhere, poking his nerdy little glasses over a vinyl record. That's all I can say.
Excellent.
Just saying. So anyhow, let's talk about artificial intelligence and all the things that are kind of going around. I mean, first off, the AI for Good initiative with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. That's pretty massive. What's going on with that?
Yeah. So this is the UN's primary platform for exploring the impacts and implications of AI across really all of its different domains and verticals. It started back in June of 2017, and is led by the ITU, the International Telecommunication Union, which recently celebrated its 153rd birthday.
Whoa, they're a little bit older than the Tech Council.
They're
like 120 years more. Yeah. A lot.
They've been setting standards and policy frameworks for everything since like the telegraph and whatnot. And so they've been given the keys and the green light to frame for the rest of these UN agencies what they should be concerned or excited about when it comes to how AI is going to affect the World Health Organization,
right,
or the UN Office of Disarmament Affairs, or UNICEF, or other. There's a total of 33 UN agencies that have now signed on board
with this
to AI for Good. And it convenes now in this annual AI for Good Global Summit.
There isn't an AI for Bad out there that we need to be worried about, is there?
Well,
that's a whole other story.
I mean, they may very well be out there.
Exactly.
We just probably don't know about it.
But I just love the idea of taking what's happening with artificial intelligence and applying that for the betterment of humanity, the betterment of our organizations of and things like that. And so you were traveling abroad with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this trip that you took and why you were there. And you were hanging out with with Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto as well as you were doing
that. Yeah,
that's
right.
So like, come on, man, you're hanging out with all the cool kids.
No, it's great. So, after having gone to last year's inaugural summit and really getting a lay of the land.
Yeah.
Since then, it's just been a process of, working and checking in with the various Pittsburgh stakeholders and, trying to build as much momentum from the Pittsburgh angle to step up to this set of opportunities and even responsibilities that
right.
we kind of hold here as a global center of
right.
ethical AI.
And I love it because you're getting outside the bounds of Pittsburgh. I mean, you're mm-hmm. literally going on a global stage here, and you're bringing that back to Pittsburgh to see, and mm-hmm. we can take what you're learning and bring back and use that towards mm-hmm. our purposes, which I think is so important.
And, you know, what's really exciting is that on this global stage, I mean, Pittsburgh actually stands out as one of those regions that's already been exploring this, not just for years, but for decades.
Right. Okay.
And has a lot of best practices that have been accrued over the years.
Huh. Okay.
That really put us in a very, very positive light. Pittsburgh was the only city or even region that was highlighted and emphasized as
really?
Like an AI for good city at this summit. Largely through the presence and participation of Mayor Peduto. So there were five of us that went. So between the mayor, myself, David Danks, a professor at CMU, mm-hmm. he's the head of the philosophy department and co-leads the K&L Gates initiatives around ethics and policy, along with...
That's why I think it's so cool. You're getting philosophers hanging out with the tech people
yeah.
because it all blends at this point.
Well, that's the thing. Like, really, this realm, AI is, whether you call it like an umbrella or an underlying layer, it is already poised to affect just about everything, which means that everyone in any industry has points of entry or at least
right,
skin
right,
in the game
exactly
for how it goes. And it's not an entirely inaccessible space to like wrap your head around. Well, I don't know. There's so much online that you can dig into. You know, you read a couple books, you take a online course or two, and then suddenly you're within the top percentile of a percentile in terms of global understanding around this stuff.
That's crazy. I know.
So there were the three of us, Shinjini Kundu, who graduated from Pitt, got her medical degree there, and then Diane Lippman from the University of Pittsburgh as well, who leads the ISP, the Intelligent Systems Program there.
So we had quite the crew.
It was
I love
great.
It.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And it's great to know that Pittsburgh's being recognized on the global stage for that. We're there. We're bringing stuff back. We're also adding to that conversation as mm-hmm. well, too. Reminding our listeners, we're talking to Kenny Chen from Ascender, leading up all things AI, man.
Mm-hmm.
So last time you were on the show, you were talking about the X Prize around
yeah.
AI. What's the latest and greatest around that?
So let's see. We still are currently tied with Montreal as the global leaders.
We're tied?
Yeah.
How do we kick their butt?
In this next round,
just okay.
continue being awesome.
Okay.
So we've got 7 out of the remaining 62 teams in the IBM Watson Artificial Intelligence X Prize. That's a $5 million prize that ends in 2020.
Okay.
But we recently, just a couple weeks ago, invited the team from the new $10 million ANA Avatar X Prize.
Ooh, okay. Tell me about this. This is brand new. I
yeah,
like it. Tell
yeah.
me. Give me more details here, Kenny.
So ANA, a Japanese airlines, they wanted to see what the next just massive leap, not just incremental step, but leap in travel. What would that look like?
It. And right.
they eventually got to this point where they were saying, hey, it's not a faster vehicle or a more comfortable ride. How can we approach like teleportation?
they figure that one out. Let's go.
Right? And your quantum mechanics and all that kind of stuff will tell you that it's hard enough, if not impossible, to teleport matter that far. But the idea of, hey, can we teleport consciousness elsewhere?
My consciousness wants to visit London.
Exactly.
Not the rest of me.
So this concept of building around robotic avatars, came through and ultimately became the basis for this new prize. And it's not an entirely new idea.
Okay.
Having a multi-sensory robot that you can operate from halfway around the world
exactly.
or even off planet. And have it see, hear, touch, and be able to manipulate things in the environment around it in a convincing way that
right.
makes you feel like you're there.
Wow. That's
so,
what I'm talking about. See, this is so cool. Talk about stretching people's imaginations and their technical abilities to
yeah.
start thinking about solving these types of problems. That's nuts.
So we've got them plugged in for Pittsburgh, linked up with CMU, with all the other kind of robotics folks.
Love
here.
It.
We're trying to win this.
Yeah, we can do it. I know we can. Heck
yeah.
Yeah, man. Come on, let's make it happen, Kenny. Let's make it happen. So about a minute or so left. Bosch just put a pretty cool investment into Carnegie Mellon. Tell us quickly about that.
Yeah, it's an $8 million gift that Bosch has given to CMU that will be deployed until 2023. And they're taking a very collaborative approach. I mean, they've hired a CMU faculty member, Zico Coulter, but not taking him away from the university,
okay,
but kind of like a split role where a lot of this research that's getting funded is, yeah, just being funded for the sake of like progressing the field.
Exactly.
And yeah, Bosch is building this out.
That's a significant investment in doing that here in Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon University.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kenny, it'll be there. This is fascinating stuff. I need to have you come back on a regular basis to update because it's moving and growing so fast. We want to keep up with it. And you're the man on the scene when it comes to that. So people want to learn more about Ascender and all the work that you're doing. What's the best place for people to go?
Yeah. I mean, you know, our websites, ascenderpgh.com, thrivalfestival.com.
Get your tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. September 19th through the 21st. That's
absolutely
where we're gathering a lot of these people that we're meeting around the world, you know, putting them into rooms to talk about the future of work and the implications of synthetic biology.
It's cool, man. It's a bunch of days of nerding out on that stuff and then having some great music at the end. So
that music too.
Good stuff all the way around.
Looking forward to partying.
Tell everyone back at Ascender I said hello, and tell you what, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks again.
Great stuff. Hey, another Tech Vibe Radio under the belt. As I said, I was kind of sad because it was the end of the show, but I'm actually happy again because A, I got to talk to Kenny, and B, we're on next Friday, so keep your dial tuned right here for all the great things that are making Pittsburgh's technology sector really just go crazy these days. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us and our 35 years of helping this industry grow by going to pghtech.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.